Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
So a couple years before I got married, I was staying at my parents' house. And for several days, this pain had been hurting really bad in my leg. It was like near my hip. It was kind of high up on my leg. And it had been hurting so bad that I'd gotten to the point where I could barely even walk. I had to hobble around from place to place and support myself on things. And it had been increasingly getting worse each day. And so one night, I was in my bed, and I was praying a little bit. I was reading the Bible, and I came across Mark chapter 10, and it's the story of this man called Bartimaeus, and he was this blind beggar. And in the story, Jesus and his disciples and this crowd comes passing by, and Bartimaeus, this blind man, he hears about it, and he knows that Jesus can hear him. And so as Jesus is passing by, Bartimaeus begins to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he begins to shout this out over and over, and then the crowd and the people tell him, be quiet, don't bother him, you know, right? Like they're trying to get him to shut up. And yet the more they tell him to be quiet, the more he shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he's shouting and he's shouting. And finally Jesus says, "Bring him here," to his disciples, "bring the man here," right? And Jesus heals him of his blindness that day. He asks him, "What can I do for you? And he says, "Lord, I want to see. I want to regain my sight." And Jesus gives that back to him. He says, Jesus actually makes this amazing statement that he makes several times in the Gospels. He says, "Your faith has made you well." And the man goes away seeing. As I was reading that story that night, it really hurt my spirit because I kept looking at it and I kept thinking, I'm not walking in that amount of faith. I'm not living that kind of life. I'm not calling out to Jesus with that amount of faith, believing that he's actually going to turn and he's going to do something for me. And the more I tried to go to sleep, the more I wrestled with these thoughts of Jesus saying, "Go, your faith has made you well." And I was like, what is going on right now? And so I decided to do something just a little crazy. I got up out of bed in the middle of the night, and I put some clothes on, I put a jacket on or whatever, and I hobbled from my room to my parents' front door, and I hobbled out their front door into the darkness of the night. And so I'm going to finish this story at the end of this video, but before I do, I really want to share with you what's on my heart right now. I really believe God has given me this message to give to you, and that is that some of us Christians, or a lot of us, are living what I would call the safe Christian life. We're living in this world of safe Christianity. And yet the more I read the Bible, the more I see that safe Christianity does not exist. And I'm not talking about, avoiding persecution and avoiding looking like a fool for the sake of the gospel. You know, that is one version of safe Christianity that is a place that I think it's a trap that I feel like we fall into sometimes. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this version of safe Christianity where we are trying our best to keep God from being embarrassed. And here's what I'm talking about. We think that if we stepped out in faith and God did not come through for us, right, that he would be embarrassed, that his word would look foolish, right? But here's the truth. God does not need our help to live up to his word. But really what I think we're doing is, honestly, I think we're trying to protect our own belief. Because if we tried to step out in faith and God didn't come through for us, then we know deep down inside of us that doubts would begin to rise about whether God was really there, whether we really had a relationship with him, you know, whether his word was really true. But what we don't realize is that if we're not walking in faith, if we're not stepping out in faith based on what we're reading in his word, then guess what? We're already living in a place of unbelief. That doubt is already in our hearts. I want to read this amazing quote. I've been reading the Chronicles of Narnia for the first time, believe it or not, never read it before, except for a couple of the books. And so I've been reading the whole series, and I came across this line that I love, and you've probably heard it before, especially if you've read The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. And this is the quote. It says, "Who said anything about safe? Course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." And the person that the character in the book is talking about is this character named Aslan. And Aslan is this mighty lion. And in the stories of Narnia, Aslan actually represents, loosely represents Jesus in the Bible. And so C.S. Lewis uses this character of Aslan to paint this picture of this lion who's not tame and not really safe. And yet he is this really good, amazing character, and he always does the right thing. He always knows what to do. And yet all the other characters don't necessarily feel safe around him. Here's the point I'm trying to make is that when Jesus in the Bible says, "Come follow me," a lot of times people shied away from that because they looked at the path he was walking, the road he was walking down, and they did not feel like that was going to be a comfortable road. You know, they did not feel like that was going to be a safe way to go. And the truth is, it's not. It's not always going to feel that way. Jesus promised that when we follow him, he's going to be with us, but he did not promise that we're always going to feel safe. And unfortunately, some of us are living in this safe bubble all the time. And when we read the Word of God and we read things that don't really jive with us, you know, that we don't really believe, instead of asking God to help us believe those things, what we're doing is we're justifying why we don't necessarily need to believe those things. You know, we say a lot of things like, "Oh, maybe God doesn't do that anymore," or, "Oh, maybe that's not for me, it was for this person," you know, but the reason we're having to say those things is because we know inside the Holy Spirit is trying to do something in our heart, but we just don't want him to do it because we don't want to come out of that bubble that we've been living inside of. You know, faithfulness is actually one of the marks of a true believer, but what we don't realize a lot of times is it's not the only mark of a true believer. See, we can't just think, "Oh, I'm going to be faithful," and yet not live faith-filled. Right? Because if we're being faithful all the time and trying to be obedient, you know, there's a lot of things in God's word that require us, everything actually requires us to walk in faith. And you know, God says anything that's not done in faith is sin. So when we're not responding to God's word in faith, in a faith-filled way, then we don't realize it, but we're not actually being as faithful as we think that we're being. We think that as long as we get all these little rules and regulations down that we're walking faithfully before God. But God is after our hearts more than anything else. He's after our belief. He wants us to look up at him and believe that, yeah, he's a loving God. He is a good God. He's a faithful God. And that when he tells us to do something, that he's actually going to back up his word and he's going to come through for us and he's going to do the things he promised he's going to do. And that when we do those things, we're actually going to know him in a deeper way and on a deeper level. We only live once. We only get to do this life one time. And I'm not saying that to put any shame or condemnation on you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, one day you are going to stand before God and he is going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But what I don't want to happen when I get to heaven is I don't want to be able to look back and see that I lived, you know, the way that what Paul described as a man escaping through the fire, you know, being saved as one through fire. Like, I don't want to barely get there. I want to get there and I want to look back and see that I lived a life of faith, a life of pursuit after my Savior. And so I'm not trying to condemn you in any sort of way. I'm not trying to put shame on you. What I'm trying to say is I'm trying to present this plea before you that we as a church, we as Christians, we as followers of Christ, we need to stop living in fear and doubt, and we need to read God's word and we need to respond in faith. And the times where we don't feel adequate, when we don't feel like we have enough faith to respond in faith, we need to ask. We need to believe that when we ask, that God is actually going to give us what we need in order to do what he's asking us to do.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
And so I want to finish my story real fast. The reason I left my parents' house that night was because as I was laying in bed, the Holy Spirit kept encouraging me, not just with the story of Bartimaeus, but with all the stories that I'd been reading in the gospel about Jesus going around and healing everyone who came to him for healing. And the Holy Spirit began to encourage me, saying, God has not changed since then. He still has the same heart for healing that he had then. And so because God was revealing that to me, I could not sit there and do nothing. I had to respond in faith. And so I got up out of bed. I hobbled across the house. Every time I took a step, it hurt profusely. Every time I took a step, it was like this sharp pain shooting up my leg and into my hip. And yet I decided, you know what? I'm going to seek God about this. I'm not just going to let it linger. I went outside and I walked up my parents' yard to this road that's kind of high up in front of their yard. And I began to walk down that road. And I walked down that road. It's kind of a windy valley of a road. And I walked down it for about a fourth of a mile or more. In pain the entire time. I got down to the end of the road where there's a stop sign and a little intersection. And my parents live in the country, and so out there it was like almost pitch black except for the light of the stars. And there were no cars out there at the time. And so I just looked up into the sky praying to God, but I did the same thing Bartimaeus did, because I was desperate in that moment, and I just shouted out and I said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And I began to shout out this phrase more than once, because I knew that at that moment, I looked foolish to me. I felt foolish, to be honest. And if anyone else had been out there by chance, they would have thought I was pretty foolish too, right? You know, but the thing I had to get over was, does God think I'm foolish right now? You know, and is God going to be embarrassed by my actions right now? But what I found was, the more that I yelled it out, the clearer I began to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart. And what he began to say to me was, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, the same thing that Jesus had said to Bartimaeus. And so I replied, you know, kind of in a foolish way, but I replied, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." And the only thing I meant by that was, I want to be healed the same way Bartimaeus was. You know, I mean, I didn't have a vision problems, but I had a need, and I knew that God would know what I meant when I said that. And so when I said that, the Holy Spirit said, "Run home." And I was just like, "Wait, what? Run home?" You know, and I'm thinking, nah, this is probably not the Holy Spirit speaking right now, because that sounds ridiculous, right? You know how you God nudges you to do something, maybe to go to witness to somebody, or maybe to give something to someone who's in need, and yet, we think, oh, that sounds ridiculous, that sounds foolish, and we think that can't be God, right? But the Bible actually talks about how the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, right? You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So when God says something and it sounds foolish, if it's really him speaking, it's still the best path to take. It's still the best response to have. And so I kept saying, "Holy Spirit, I don't think so. I'm not going to run home." And he kept saying, "Run home, run home." And he would repeat it over and over. And I was crouched down at that point at the end of the road. And so finally I said, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run home. And I was thinking, this is not going to work too good, you know, because I can barely even walk. So I turn around and I just begin to run. And that the next few seconds were like, it felt like several minutes to me. It felt like things were going in slow motion a little bit, because that first step I took, there was so much pain shooting up my leg that I was almost wanting to quit after the first leap, right? And then I took the second leap, the second stride, and the same thing, a ton of pain shooting up my leg. And then I took the third stride. And when I took the third stride, the pain was gone. And I stopped for a second and realized, oh, that didn't hurt at all. And then I started running again, and I was running up this hill. And the whole time I'm thinking, I don't feel any pain at all. Not even a little bit. And halfway up that hill, I stop and I start to jump around. I'm like, okay, if the pain's really gone, I want to know that it's gone. And so I start jumping around, and I'm jumping up and down and leaping in the air, trying to get that pain to come back. And no matter what I do, it's not coming back. I can't get it to come back. And unfortunately, in that moment, I had this thought run through my head. And the thought was this: what a coincidence. I know, I can't believe it now that I would think that. But in that moment, I thought, what a coincidence. You know, I looked at what God had just done, and I thought, it must have just gone away by chance, you know? And then, you know, immediately after that, I began to recognize that that was the devil trying to get me to unbelieve what I had just believed, right? The faith that I just had, he was trying to get me to let it go and to begin to walk in doubt again. And I just said, no, I'm not going to believe that. I believe that God just healed me, because I believe that when I responded in faith, that Jesus said, "Go in peace, your faith has made you well." And I want to warn you about that. As soon as you start responding to God's word in faith, as soon as you start stepping out in faith, when things start to happen, the devil's going to come along and he's going to try to say, no, that happened because of this reason, or no, God didn't really do that, or he's going to try to strip that away from you as much as he possibly can. Don't let him do that. Go right back into God's word and see what it says and remind yourself of what the Holy Spirit has said to you through the word of God. I believe that God is saying it's time to quit practicing a safe version of Christianity. It is time to step out in faith. It's time to read his word and to believe it for what it really says. It's time to be honest with God about the way we feel, to ask for his help, to have the faith we need to have. And it is time to start believing that God is telling the truth. The story I told you today is actually written into my book called My Mess. And it's my personal testimony story. And also there's a lot of other stories in there of things that God has done in my life. But I'm also, so I hope you get a copy of that book, but I'm also writing a new book right now in which I share a lot more stories like that, a lot of things that God has done that at the time it was almost unbelievable, but things that God has done because I've chosen to respond to his word in faith. And no, I'm not perfect at it, y'all. I don't get it right every single time. You know, I need his grace just as much as anyone does. Here is what I know for certain, is that the more we seek after God, the more we find him. So I really hope I've stirred up your heart a little bit today and encouraged you some today. I love y'all. See you next time.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.